want to spend some time talking about a subject that we follow closely on this program, and that is education. In a few minutes, we'll talk about changes the Obama administration wants to make to student loan repayment terms. But first, we'd like to talk about some news coming out of California, where a Los Angeles Superior Court decision could wind up being a landmark that sets off nationwide changes to job protection laws for teachers. In a sweeping decision, a Superior Court judge decided that California's teacher tenure laws are unconstitutional, saying that the laws violate the civil rights of low-income and minority students by making it hard to fire bad teachers. Those who support the decision say it's a win for students because it helps remove grossly ineffective teachers from the classroom. But teacher unions are up in arms, saying the decision will make it harder to recruit and retain qualified teachers. For more on this, we turn to Stephen Sawchuk, assistant editor for Education Week. He covers teacher-related policy and rights for the Teacher Beat blog, and he's with us now in our Washington, D.C. studios. Welcome. Thanks so much for coming.
Thanks for having me.
What exactly did the ruling say? I have to note that the language was very strong.
Very strong. Essentially, the judge agreed with the plaintiffs, 9 students and their families, with their argument that these teacher protection laws, and by that we mean tenure, we mean the lengthy process for dismissing a tenured teacher, and also some of the seniority provisions, which require more junior teachers to be laid off before more experienced teachers, were disproportionately saddling students of color and disadvantaged students with the weakest teachers.
Now, we know that teacher tenure policies have become a kind of a focus of attention of a lot of people who believe that our educational system needs to be shaken up. So what's significant about this? I mean, is this the first time that there's been a legal case directed at teacher tenure policies? I mean, how are these policies generally managed? I mean, I thought this is mainly a matter of collective bargaining.
Tenure policies are actually normally set by states. They're mostly written into state law. And typically, the way they're changed is through legislative action. That's been hard in California. There have been a number of attempts to make it easier to get rid of teachers accused of malfeasance, for instance. And those have typically been blocked by the California teachers' unions. In this case, the plaintiffs went the judicial route. And I think what's really important to understand about this, you have to understand a little bit about education equity cases in the past. I mean, everyone knows Brown versus Board of Education. But in the 70s and 80s, people looked at things like educational equity and adequacy, mostly from a finance perspective. And so there were a number of rulings that said that, well,
funding. People mainly addressed this through
exactly.
funding. They said this district is getting less than this district, and let's
These
talk about that.
These schools are getting less. We have to equalize this. This is the first ruling that has said it is not just about the money. We have to make sure that there is equitable access to quality teaching and instruction. It's the first time we've ever seen a ruling like that.
So just let me understand this. Is the ruling saying that having a qualified teacher is a civil right?
The ruling is saying that disadvantaged kids cannot have a disproportionate share of poor performing teachers.
Talk a little bit, if you would, about the specific circumstances in California. How is teacher tenure awarded there?
Teacher
tenure.
And
why do you think, I'm just curious, because I have to note again that some of the people involved in this case are national figures, like the former Solicitor General Theodore Olson, who's taken on, you know, a number of high profile cases, not just in the education area, for example, around same-sex marriage. He argued a significant Supreme Court case involving that. So what are there specific circumstances in California that got activists involved in looking for a case to address this issue?
Teacher tenure in California is granted after 2 years. Most states, it's 3 years or more. So that was one issue. The other thing is that the particular protections it confers are different in every state. In California, the process can go on as long as 10 years. It's incredibly expensive, and a lot of districts don't want to do all of the documentation and go through the multiple appeals it typically takes. And so that was one of the reasons it was brought there. There are other states, for instance, where if a teacher gets several successive poor evaluations, they can be returned to probationary status. California doesn't have rules like that.
So do you have the sense that, I mean, I think this is something that perhaps a lot of people don't know, is that sometimes people who are trying to use the courts to advance a particular issue go look for a place in order to bring a case. They look for specific circumstances, or they look for a specific venue. Do you have the sense that kind of national advocates who wanted to address the teacher tenure issue were looking for a specific case here? Is it California overall, or did something happen with these particular students? There were 9 plaintiffs who were students in the system. Did something happen in their circumstances that made this an attractive place to test this issue?
I think California's laws are unusual in that they're so specific. I mean, not that many laws specifically say that you can only lay off junior teachers before senior teachers, regardless of how good they are. In many cases, that's more a function of the contract, and it can be bargained in or out.
So what are the next steps here? We mentioned that this issue is already being appealed, as you would imagine.
Two things. There's the appeals, and of course, that can go either way, depending on how the appellate court reviews the evidence. The other thing is that I think it will cause the California legislature to take a really close look at these laws. I mean, there is pressure on them to address this. And in fact, if you read the ruling carefully, there are some bright lines in there. The judge says, for instance, that, well, all these other states take 3 years to earn tenure. So if I were a betting man, I would say I would look for a proposal in the legislature to increase the time to tenure and possibly weed out some of these steps that it takes to remove an ineffective teacher.
Given that California is a bit of an outlier in this area now, does it seem as though this will set off a national chain reaction? I mean, if California moves basically to bring its practices in line with those that are practiced by most other states, is there really going to be that sweeping in effect? Because it just seems from the reaction that you're getting from a teacher advocacy groups and also from people who support this ruling, it seems to me that people really think this is going to set off shockwaves.
So, I have two opinions on that. First, I think legislatures the country over will be looking at their own laws and trying to get a sense of how they all merge, like the ones in California. I am going to throw a little bit of cold water on the idea, though, that we're going to see legal challenges of this nature everywhere. Because if you read the ruling very carefully, it cites mostly California case law and precedent. I mean, there have been equitable education lawsuits in other states, but courts interpret those terms differently. Adequacy, even teacher tenure has different meanings in different states. So I don't think it's a slam dunk to use this California precedent in a state where the case law is different. I think that they're going to have to really look at that with respect to the specific laws in the other states.
Finally, tell me a little bit about the group that brought this case. I mean, this was 9 families represented by a group called Students Matter. I note again that a very high-powered legal team brought this before the Los Angeles Superior Court. Tell us a little bit about this group and what's behind their thinking here.
You know, one of the things the teachers' unions have been pointing out, they've said, you know, this is a smokescreen. This isn't about equity. It's about trying to undermine the teachers' unions. And they've pointed out the fact that these students were bankrolled by this group and that this group has ties to donors that have not been particularly friendly towards teachers' unions in the past. On the other hand, the group itself would say that this is an issue of you know, economic development in California. We need to have the best teachers, we need to have the best educated students, and that these laws are, you know, sort of on the face value of things, preventing that.
I understand that the major donor behind this group is David Welsh, who's a Silicon Valley technology mogul who spent millions of dollars creating this organization. But what's the stated intention of Students Matter? Is it to bring cases like this? Is it to bring legal cases like this? Or do they have other things that
so far this
them?
Is the main thing they've really worked on, and I haven't seen any other particular initiatives coming from them. Their stated goal is to ensure that all students are taught by effective teachers.
Stephen Sawchuk is an assistant editor for Education Week. He covers teacher-related policy. He writes for their Teacher Beat blog, and he was kind enough to join us in our Washington, D.C. studio. Stephen Sawchuk, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks again.